I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Get Rich Slow Club podcast is a collaboration between Tash Etchman from Tash Invest and Anna Christina from Perla. The Get Rich Slow Club acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land we record on. From coast to coast, across land, waters, and communities, we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Any advice is general and does not consider your financial situation, needs, or objectives, so consider whether it's appropriate for you.
Welcome to the Get Rich Slow Club podcast,
where we take you from beginner to confident investor,
where we can teach you everything you need to know about investing.
So come get rich slow with us.
Larisha Drome is a proud Jawara, Waka Waka, and Willy Willy woman who has an extensive background working in banking, health, government, and the not-for-profit sector. And she currently holds a role at the First Nations Foundation, which focuses on financial wellness and economic independence. She also hosts her own podcast, The Rich Black Woman, which focuses on financial prosperity for all Indigenous Australian women, and she's about to be a TED speaker as well. We are very excited for today's episode with Larisha Drome, but before we start, we want to share our weekly money wins and losses. Larisha, do you have one for us?
Yeah, so my money win is using my Qantas points to book my flights overseas. So love that for me. We love to be bougie on a budget. And then my loss is my dog's favorite treats are a lot more expensive, which is not the vibe, but they deserve it, so it's fine.
Where are you going on holiday?
I'm going to New York and LA and Las Vegas.
Oh my God, amazing. Fun. And you booked it all with Qantas points.
Yeah, yep. So I booked a couple of the flights. Mm-hmm.
The dream.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, jealous. Take us with you, please.
Yes. Did you book them direct with Qantas or did you have to use another airline?
With Qantas.
Okay. Even more of a win. How good. Uh-huh. I've heard some people having problems using Qantas points for overseas. So it's good that you got, was it to New York first?
So from Canada to New York and then New York to LA. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Points are such a win. I love when I use my points for long flights, especially. So good.
I know. It feels like free money. You know what they say, girl math?
Yeah, I'm going on a cruise on Thursday that was paid for completely by points. So I'm very excited for that.
Oh, love that.
Anna, what's your money win or loss?
Mine's not that extravagant, but right before recording this podcast this morning, I took my kid to swimming. And because, you know, we had a good day, we went out for lunch, we had ice cream, you know, I took him for a haircut and it cost $80, but it was one of those days where it's just priceless, you know, like 80 bucks in the grand scheme of things. You're just like, it was so nice to just hang out and just do fun little things and get one-on-one time because having to, you never get to do that. So yeah, I had a beautiful day. My hair is actually still slightly wet from the swim for this podcast, but it was just beautiful. So that was, yeah, I don't know, money win, money loss, whatever, both, like just a beautiful day, pricelessness.
Yeah, good value for your money.
Exactly.
You inspired me to go swimming the other day when you were talking about it. So I spent all of Saturday at the pool and it was really nice. It was only $8 for entry and it felt like a great day.
It's not that expensive, right? Like the swim is not that expensive and it's such a good workout. And yeah, I need to do it more.
And we packed Diet Cokes in our bags with cups of ice. So even more money win there.
Smart. Love that.
I have a hack, which I don't know if we're meant to be using it, but I've been getting all of the free food delivery boxes. So I've tried HelloFresh, EveryPlate and Dinnerly so far. And when I ordered Dinnerly, it let me add 6 meals in the free box. And I think it was only meant to let me add 3. So I got 6 meals for 2 Ooh. People for $10.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Technical glitch, but yes. Money win. Wow. So which one do you like the best out of those, actually, now that you've...
Oh my gosh. I like the Dinnerly food, but I hate their recipes. The recipe cards are the worst. There's no photos. The steps don't make any sense. It's very like, it uses lots of pots and pans. It's like, cook this and then take it off and then cook this and then take it off. And I don't like that. I'm like a one pan person. Every plate, the recipes were cool, but the food wasn't very fresh. Like the spinach was really gross the first day I got it and the chicken went off really quickly as well. So I think HelloFresh is the winner so far. But then Dinnerly gave me 6 meals for $10, so I don't mind. Okay, let's jump into today's episode. Larisha, you are a massive advocate of financial literacy, financial wellness and self-care. What is financial wellness and self-care to you?
Yeah, so I guess just working in finance for so long, it's kind of really, you know, the technical aspect and it's really the monetary value and things. And with us, within our culture, I think, you know, spirituality is indigenous. So I like to bring everything back to basics, back to grounding ourselves into our rich culture. So when I talk about finance, I talk about it as your overall holistic financial health. That's one of the biggest things that I always bring it back to, you know, and just making sure that we're talking about it in a sense that, you know, finance interconnects into all different ways in our life, whether we like it or not. So it's just bringing it back to that and just giving it back to your financial wellness and your overall financial holistic health is another massive thing. And then even the self-care part of it, just making sure that us as women, I feel that, you know, we like to look after everybody else instead of looking after ourselves first. And within our Indigenous culture, we're a very matriarchal culture and it's always the women that are leading and the women that are taking care of our communities. So that's kind of where I find it. And what financial wellness means to me is that overall holistic financial health and wellness and well-being and all of that, because it all interconnects for your overall well-being. And then, yeah, that self-care part is just so important for us women, to making sure that we're pouring into ourselves before we pour into other people.
I relate to that so much, like looking after little humans and other people. I'm like the last person to look after myself. And often, I don't know if both of you feel this way, but sometimes self-care, when you read about it on social media or everywhere else, it's all about targeting, for me, the wrong parts of self-care.
Yeah, you know, it's about moms and all of the moisturizing creams and stuff.
Mm-hmm. The consumeristic kind of side of it, of how to make yourself feel better. But for me, so much of my self-care is like, did I get my budget in order? Did I do the paperwork so that I know that my family, my community, like is secure in that kind of space, where the self-care and the financial wellness really go hand in hand, right?
Yeah. And it's like cultivating that safety and security as well. And I love before how you said one of your wins was just spending that time with your son. You know, that's something that money can't buy. And I feel like just bringing that back into it, because, you know, the world is already abundant without all the material things in it. And it's just about seeing everything through an abundant lens. So that's kind of, you know, what financial self-care really is. It's just about bringing yourself back to earth, basically grounding yourself and seeing abundance in everything that's around us.
Can you talk a little bit about the abundance mindset? Like, what does that actually mean in this context for you?
Yeah, so I see abundance in everything. And I guess over the last couple of years, you know, my perceptions of wealth has changed so much, and I'm sure everybody else has as well. And just having that and cultivating that abundance mindset, it's just, you know, unfortunately for First Nations people, we have lived a life where we've lived in scarcity, lack, you know, we talk about intergenerational trauma, but we don't talk about our intergenerational strengths. So it's about, you know, having that abundance and just switching the switch, I guess, so to say. And, you know, I don't want to talk about lack or generational trauma or anything like that. All of those conversations don't exist to me anymore. It's kind of, you know, we're talking about our generational strengths and, you know, just really harnessing that as our power as well. I feel like, you know, we hear so many different things out there in the media or whatever it is. So I guess it's just really important to really have that, you know, abundance mindset, you know, talk about empowering our communities and healing and, you know, our generational strengths and how we can implement that in everything that we do.
Do you have examples of some of the generational strengths that are your favorite?
Yeah, I guess, well, first and foremost, you know, we have literally survived for over 60,000 years.
Yep.
And it's just crazy to me that, you know, we're living in a society and, you know, it's very patriarchal, you know, dominated, you know what I mean? And it's like the systems that, you know, exist right now, they weren't built to support us. And, you know, obviously some of these things aren't even working for us now. So it's like, why don't we just sit back and actually learn, educate, and talk to our elders and, you know, connect with our culture and all of the people that have literally been thriving and having that sustainable lives for literally over 60,000 years. So I think that's one of the most important things as well, is just, you know, bringing our culture to the, you know, the front of everything that we do.
I love being able to reposition something as strengths, as opposed to looking at more of a negative kind of connotation when it comes to anything, especially when it comes to a community or financial literacy or empowerment or just wellness in general, right? So I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Especially because the media can be so negative sometimes. It's nice to be reminded to think of all the positive things too.
Exactly. And it's not like we already know the reality. You know what I mean? We already know the economic disadvantage that we face. It's constantly plastered everywhere. So I think it's, yeah, just important to give our people their power back and, you know, take control and live the life that, you know, on their terms as well.
It's very OT based, almost. Like at uni when I was studying occupational therapy, it's all about empowerment and strengths based and focusing on the positives. And yeah, I love this.
Even just like using the word abundance, you know, like I don't think that that was really in my own vocabulary when it came to finances as well. Like I'm always like, oh, budgeting, like budgeting feels so restrictive. And even though it's important, even just using words like abundance, it feels like it opens up a whole new space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so true. And it's like, you know, before colonization, there was always an abundance of everything around us. You know, there's Mother Earth. You know, if you look after Mother Earth, Mother Earth looks after you. So before colonization and before people put price tags on everything, there was an abundance of everything that was exactly needed for you. So that's what really, you know, changed my perception as well, is I'm like, you know, it's an abundance mindset. It's, you know, not having those negative conversations about money anymore. And it's about using our strengths.
Sounds like, yeah, such a dream. Yeah. I just needed to remember that more these days. Like it's wild when you think about, yeah, money is very negative and it's always, what am I missing out on? Or how much more could I save? Or yeah, what's someone else doing? So it's a good thing to remember. Jumping back to self-care before, did you have some examples of financial self-care activities that you like to do or that you recommend other people do?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, unlike looking after yourself, you know, if you love to get your lashes done or your nails done, whatever, that's great. But I think just actually giving yourself a moment to give gratitude for everything that you already have, I think that's one thing that a lot of people forget to do, is that, you know, if you're constantly chasing, you know, what's next, you know, I've achieved this, but what's next? And you're not actually just sitting there just stopping to smell the roses. That's another thing that I constantly have to tell myself, is that, you know, it's okay to just slow down and actually rest. I feel like, you know, as much as hustling for the next thing is, rest is also important. So I think financial self-care, really good things that you can do for that is, first and foremost, obviously education is key. The professional or self-development stuff as well is really important. And even just spending time to actually connect with country, connect with your family, you know, connect with things that actually matter outside of the, you know, the daily grind or whatever they say. But I think, yeah, that's really important as First Nations people, is just to really connect and ground yourself as well. That's a really great way to actually practice financial self-care, and just making sure that, you know, you're staying close to people that make you feel safe. I think that's another important thing for us. You know, money was never a conversation growing up. And now, you know, one of the biggest things for me is actually surrounding myself with people that actually inspire me and want me to do better in life as well. And it's kind of like that accountability thing as well. If they know that you want to achieve a goal or something, then you guys can keep yourself accountable. So it's like cultivating that safe and supportive, empowering network around you as well. I think that's one of the ways that you can definitely practice self-care.
I love that idea of having safe space, because finances can be a really challenging conversation to have with people, especially if you have different ideas, different spending habits, different money trauma, different money beliefs. Do you have any tips on how to have a safe space around that as well? I know some people kind of...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Struggle when they've maybe found financial literacy and they want to continue down that path of talking to people, but then they feel hindered by making it safe?
Yeah. So I guess for First Nations people, a lot of us experience money shame. So when you think about it, obviously, I know they say it was a long time ago, but it was literally like one generation or two generations ago where, you know, there were the things like stolen wages where, you know, our elders were literally paid in rations or by bread, sugar. We didn't have control of our own money. So that's one of the biggest things that you got to remember is that we're finally having the opportunity to be in charge of our own money. So that's a huge thing. So money shame is a huge thing within our community. It's like whether or not you know, sometimes it's a thing that you don't feel capable, you don't feel educated enough to, or worthy enough. That's another thing that a lot of our people, you know, experience is that worthiness. And it's like, if you can get through and overcome those self-limiting beliefs, you know, whether you think that you are abundant or capable or educated enough to receive money, I think it's so important that, you know, we're actually acknowledging where the money shame has actually come from. Obviously, that is generational, and that still comes up in these day and age, which is so crazy. And then, just making sure that you're, you know, actually acknowledging the money shame, you're overcoming those self-limiting beliefs, and just reminding yourself that you are worthy of, you know, living a life that you deserve. There's so many people out there, and I'm sure even as a woman in finance, you know, which is such a, I know I said this before, but like a patriarchal system, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's hard being a woman in finance, but it's hard to be a First Nations woman in finance, you know, because it's like there's all of these different economic disadvantages that has been ingrained in us. But now we're finally having the opportunity to step in our power and, you know, have so much education and resources and things available to us. And, you know, just that autonomy as well, which is, you know, just creating that safety and security for ourselves.
It seems like education is definitely like a really key part to all of that, as well as surrounding yourself with people who support you and want you to do better and believe in you as well. So you started a project called the Rich Black Woman Project. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So actually in response to COVID-19, fun times, you know, it was created to really tackle what was actually going on during that time. And then that's where the program was kind of born, which was amazing. And, you know, we didn't think that it was going to be as big as it was, but yeah, it ended up taking off. We ran monthly webinars, the Money Masterclass. We created a really safe, a culturally safe and supportive network of women as well. And we've been, you know, we've got a lot of resources and tools and things that are just all culturally relevant. That's basically our big thing, is just making sure that it resonates with our community. And it's, you know, grassroots led, I guess. That's been the real power in the project. And then obviously expanding over the last couple of years, which has been insane, but obviously a huge need that, you know, it's needed within the community. And it's amazing to see that people are wanting to start talking about money and actually take control of their money situation. And I think that's been the real privilege to see that go on as the years go on as well. And then I host the Rich Black Women podcast as well, where I really focus on amplifying the voices of First Nations women and just making sure that it's accessible nationally as well. And, you know, there's all different experiences of First Nations women all across country. So we really wanted to amplify those voices that sometimes don't get heard. So yeah, that's been really exciting over the last couple of years. And then most recently, we'll be launching our business finance portal very soon, which is just going to be amazing. But really, you know, as I said before, I really bring it back to your overall holistic financial health. So with our sessions, I've kind of renamed it to a self-care session. Obviously, finance isn't all fun at all. So we kind of, you know, lure them in. The first session is kind of that financial wellness, financial self-care part. And a lot of our women experience that, you know, money shame. They feel really disempowered or that they're not worthy. And that's kind of the first part. And then after that, we host a women's empowerment session. So it's really focusing on overcoming your self-limiting beliefs. I'm huge on affirmations. You know, you really need to retrain your subconscious from those money blocks as well. And then after that, we end on a weaving session. So it's just bringing that cultural part into it. And while we're weaving, honestly, it's the most amazing thing, because it's not only one healing, it's connecting to culture. And it opens up for a lot of the women to be able to share their stories as well. So it's just kind of like that wraparound day, and we don't want them to feel disempowered or like they're not able to release anything on the day. So yes, it's really powerful and such an amazing thing to be a part of.
You're doing so many different amazing things. How did your career get you to this point? I always like hearing how all the different things people have done beforehand.
Yeah. So funnily, I don't know, I just kind of fell into all these random finance, you know, roles, as you do. And I was just one of those ones that just wanted to learn heaps. And I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll try that out. I started off in banking, and then I worked in, you know, Indigenous affairs, working in debt collection, financial hardship. And then most recently, from my role here at the foundation, I was working in the financial abuse prevention unit at Women's Legal Service. So yeah, it's kind of just kind of evolved over the years, I guess. And just naturally, it's just something that I wanted to do. But I think the crazy thing about it all is that I felt that a lot of the financial services would go out into community, they would teach or talk at people, but it wasn't, you know, so much culturally safe or culturally relevant as well. So it's been really cool to be able to bring all of that information all into the one program and making sure that it's accessible to everyone as well, instead of, you know, just going out there multiple times in the community. And it's like building that trust as well, which is, yeah, super important with our communities, is just building that trust and making sure that you're there for the right reasons as well.
Yeah, and the cultural relevance definitely seems really important. Like we had Leah on the show as well, and she was talking around, I think it was the sharing culture and how that differs a little bit, and that can be quite a challenge for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another misconception is that a lot of people assume that, you know, Aboriginal people all across the country want the same thing, or they perceive wealth the same way, which is not the case at all. You know, one time we hosted a workshop in Torres Strait Island out on Badu Island. We literally had like 50 people under a massive tree out in the open, and it was the most beautiful thing. And it was just, yeah, just taking, you know, everything out of the classroom, out into culture and connecting with that and just having conversations. Like I think we forget so much the power of just having conversations and how healing that can be.
And I love that, like, just even connecting in person, I think because we've done so many things digitally with COVID and so forth, we just forget to connect in person. Like, I'd absolutely love to meet under a tree and chat with, like, a bunch of people and learn, right? Like, and whereas now so much of it is, like, online or in courses or at a conference, that, like, we're losing the connection of just being able to be in the same space, and that carries a lot of weight in it as well.
Yeah, money can be so isolating as well. Like, a lot of us are going through very similar struggles, but if you don't talk about it, you don't realize that a lot of other people are experiencing the exact same thing that you are.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's like, I remember one time at one of our self-care sessions, there was a lady that came in and she was feeling, you know, really disempowered, and we were all running around the room, and she just burst into tears, and she was like, I wasn't going to come because I was just feeling so like shame about her money situation. There was obviously other things that were going on, and then she wasn't going to go, and her friend just forced her to come, and thank goodness she did. And it turned out she was having issues with one of her kids at school, and it actually turned out that one of the other ladies, which was an older lady, she was actually a teacher at the school. So they ended up connecting after that. And then, you know, you just never know what's going on in people's lives, and, you know, just actually sharing that as well, and then making those relationships and those connections. And one thing about our culture is once you're connected and you know someone, they will, like, they'll be 10 toes down for you forever. And it's kind of, yeah, it's the greatest thing. And I guess that's the most important thing about community, is that, you know, we really want to uplift and empower our people. And I think, yeah, that was just one of the most beautiful moments. She just came in feeling so, you know, ashamed and upset and really worried about these other things that were all interconnecting with her personal well-being. And then somebody in the room actually connecting with her after, and they were like, yes, here's my number, catch up with me if you need a hand, you know, if you need anyone to talk to your daughter at school, then she's there to lend a hand for her. So yeah, it was just so beautiful to witness, and just seeing those lifelong friendships as well. I don't know about you, but even in school, if I went to like a camp or something, there's still some friends that I'm, you know, connected with now. And it's like, you don't realize at the time how long that these friendships or connections would last as well.
I love these stories because my family is far away and I really miss community. And when I hear these like beautiful connections, or even when I have these gorgeous connection, I crave so much of it in my own day-to-day life as well. So I just like, I love hearing that. And I guess in a way I'm seeking more community in my own life, because so much of my role is online as well. And just being able to have a supportive space or a safe space to talk about some of that stuff is fantastic.
These days sound really awesome. How can someone join them or find more out about them?
Yeah, so signing up to our mailing list or just following us at Rich Black Women on Instagram. We always post when our events are happening as well. And we also host monthly webinars as well if you can't make it to a face-to-face session. And then we also host our Financial Wellness Week, where we'll go out into community and we'll also take some financial services and providers, which is, yeah, it's really good to be able to bring all of the services to the people that need it the most. And, you know, we get to see more of this beautiful country while we do it as well.
Sounds like a great job.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, you know, a privilege to be able to connect. And I think even, you know, non-Indigenous people seeing all of the communities in Australia, I think even me, I'm always learning and always meeting new people and connecting with different communities. So yeah, it's really, yeah, definitely very grateful for this job. And it's just, yeah, it's a privilege. And it's so funny because I'm always like, you just don't understand until you actually come to the one of the sessions. And it's like the energy afterwards, you literally feel like you could just take on the world. It's the best.
It's incredible.
And if people want any more information on you or the program as well, where can they look it up?
Yes, you can look up www.firstnationsfoundation.org.au. That's our website. But initially, if you want to learn more about the Women's Project, you can look on Instagram and Facebook, I believe. It's called Rich Black Women, and that's BLAK.
And people should definitely listen to the podcast. Yeah.
Yes. And like and subscribe.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you found this episode helpful, please rate us 5 stars, write a review, or share with a friend. If you're new to investing, make sure to listen to our first 10 episodes. Follow us at Get Rich Slow Club or Tash at Tash Invest or me at Anna Christina.
This show was brought to you by Natasha Etchman, who is an authorized representative, 1299881 of Guideway Financial Services, AFSL 420367, and Perla, who is an authorized representative, 1281540 of Sanlam Private Wealth, AFSL 337927. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to investing. So make sure you check out our financial services guides and read the product disclosure statement and target market determination for any investments you're considering. See our show notes for more info.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.